Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Wednesday. Yep, it's hump day, September 19th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and you guessed it, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey. Technology you can trust. Treats for Chickens. Health and happiness for your modern backyard pet chicken. Healthy pet chicken basics, non-toxic bug relief, treats, organic snacks, and more. All created with your backyard pet chickens in mind. At Treats for Chickens, we treat your chickens well. Find us online at treatsforchickens.com or ask for us in your local farm and feed store or favorite pet shop. That's treatsforchickens.com. Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Apologize about the delay. I was answering a chicken question over on my Facebook page about mites and lice. They had basically it stated that just to educate you here on the radio show, I'll head over there to my Facebook page. Basically, Paul had posted, "Help! I found creepy crawly things on my chickens. I have dusted them twice with DE, diatomaceous earth, and I can't seem to get rid of them. Any suggestions, please?" And my first comment, reply to him was this: "No surprise there. No chicken expert we have ever had on the show has stated that DE, diatomaceous earth, is effective at eliminating mites and lice. Not to mention, some have stated that the internal use of diatomaceous earth, DE, is flat out dangerous. The studies that have been done on DE are also not convincing. If you want to try another all-natural product, you can use Poultry Protector from Carefree Enzymes. I also put there's no egg withdrawal period when using Poultry Protector because it's all natural. And then I included, if you choose to go the chemical route, which is their decision, perfectly fine, been there, done that, there is probably not a true egg withdrawal period that has ever been studied. So it's pure guesswork / opinion on when the eggs would be safe to eat, if ever again, or if that treatment would even affect the eggs. So that's why the delay. I was over there answering that question on my Facebook page. I don't have time to sit in my living room all day and post pictures on my Facebook page that I find on Pinterest or whatever that site's called. I mean, I've got to get out, travel the country, spread the chicken love, do workshops, do a radio show, educate the masses right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So it's good to see all of you on in the chat room over there. I want to say hello to you as it's filling up today. We've got a great show lined up for you today. We've got another great episode of Garden Wise Living with Arlena. And today, we got a special guest that's going to be joining us with Arlena. Her daughter is going to be calling in and joining us today. And talking about her work, she works at J&A Produce, and they're going to be talking to us about their CSA and their farming practices. And so that'll be here shortly here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So we've got a great show. Also, I'm sure that Arlena is going to be telling us what her wine of choice is today. So I know a lot of you tune in just for that. So we got to love it. So let's see what else we got. Great to see everybody. We can just kind of go down the list here. We've got of course I'm there, and oh my gosh, look who is next on the list. It looks like we've got Christmas Chick. Somebody in the chat room says she needs to change her name, doggone it. We got East Dallas Dave. Good to see you there, Dave, and E. Shriver. We've got Jerry Lynn. We've got many, many guests today. Thank you very much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'll take a moment to register, you can get your own creative screen name and join us in the chat room. We've got Jenny. We've got Jessica. We've got JR. We've got Catherine and Ken and Linda and Nancy and New Dawn Farm Girl. Whew, say that fast 10 times. Poet's Wife, Rebecca's in there, Shui Potato, Tata Farm, and many others. Also, want to send a shout-out, as always, to the over-the-road truck drivers that listen to the show and send us their input and emails. Also, want to send a shout-out to all the homeschoolers that use this radio show daily in their homeschool curriculum. Thank you very much. And all the feed and seed stores across the country that stream this radio show live to their customers. We hope business is well for you today. All righty. So we've got a great show lined up today. Let me tell you about tomorrow's show. Tomorrow, we're going to welcome, of course, one of our many resident experts, poultry scientist and PhD. Let me see what we've got here. I'm trying to find the topic here. Dr. Bridget McRae from Delaware State University, and it looks like tomorrow's topic is going to be, oh, this is great, getting involved with exhibition poultry, poultry clubs, and youth poultry. So a great show tomorrow, getting involved with exhibition poultry, show poultry, poultry clubs, and youth poultry. That'll be tomorrow's show with Dr. McRae, poultry scientist and PhD. And then, of course, this Friday, it looks like we're going to have another Ask the Chicken Doctor. We had no show this past Monday. I was on the road, but I believe that Peter, the Chicken Doctor, will be joining us on Friday to make up for his missed Monday. So how cool is that? The Chicken Doctor coming up this Friday here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So very, 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 very cool with that. I was just kind of doing some work this morning. I have been invited back to the Alabama Chicken and Egg Festival. Yep, the Alabama Chicken and Egg Festival. Really looking forward to that. Had a great time last year. As you know, travel all around the country, spreading the chicken love, doing workshops, educating, changing laws, the whole nine yards. And it was really a great time. When Jen and I arrived, last year was the first year we had done it, they welcomed over 25,000 attendees to this huge Alabama Chicken and Egg Festival. It's in Moulton, Alabama. And it's done very well. It's done multi-years, and so they've really got their act together. Something like 15 bands on three different stages. There's a poultry show. There's rides for the kids. There's corn dogs. I guess fried butter, the turkey legs, all these things that go with a great festival. But then in the field next to that, there's kind of a homesteading area where they've got homemade crafts and goodies and quilts and all these great things that are homemade. Also, they teach you how to do things. So they'll have sheep shearing, they'll have wood carving, they'll have iron making, they'll have cooking. It's really, really great. And I'm sure I will be giving away more passes this year as I did last year. Fried butter just sounds so wrong. I've never tried it, but hey, it's butter and it's fried, so it's got to be good, right? I didn't say good for you. Gotta love it. So confirming all of that, we will be there this it's April. Pardon me. I think it's the 14th, 15th, 13th, and 14th, somewhere right around April 15th, 13th, 14th, or 14th and 15th this year. And so we're definitely looking forward to that. And I was really surprised. I'll tell you, when we go around and travel and do events, we do the educational workshops and do the radio show on location and whatnot. It's it's different because we're at a feed and seed store, we're at a tractor supply, a library, someplace like that. People have been invited. They see the posters and they attend. And though we were very well publicized about the Chicken Festival and that we were going to be there, it's the first event of its kind where we've actually done the workshops. So I was a little hesitant to know what kind of crowd we would get. I mean, here you walk in and there's all these cool rides for kids, there's snow cones, there's a poultry show, there's all these great learning things. And I'm like, okay, are people really going to think to, at my particular time, say at 10 and then 1 and then 3 and then at 5 or, when I was doing my 30-minute workshops, are they really going to think in all this excitement to come over to our big tent? It was a great custom tent, great sound system, bleachers, and actually learn about backyard poultry. So me and Jen both, we were a little worried because this type of event, we didn't know what kind of the attraction would be or the attendance would be. And lo and behold, I kid you not, the both sets of bleachers were completely full every single segment we did, both on Saturday and on Sunday. It was amazing. I was truly surprised because, again, you had to look in the program, find out what was going on, remember to say, hey, I'm going to go over here and listen to this guy talk about backyard poultry at 1 o'clock. So I was impressed, and so we're really anxious to go back and attend again. They were impressed. I was surprised and impressed, but it's never underestimate the poultry and chicken love that's out there. So we'll be heading back to that this coming year. And don't forget, you'll be able to meet me and Pat Foreman and a lot of other great, great, great speakers when it comes to homesteading and poultry and at the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy annual conference. huge educational conference. Tons of great heritage breed food and homemade food and organic food from world-renowned chefs. Great educational workshops and seminars will be done from everything. And so it's going to be really good. Now, I'll tell you, I've talked to a couple of people. I've said this before on the air. If you're like, oh, I'm going to come. I want to meet the Chicken Whisperer. I want to sit in on his meeting. It's I will just say it's for a great cause, a little pricey, I guess, but not really related, I guess, to other programs like that. But just one of my point here is that if you're going to attend and you've kept chickens more than, say, 2 or 3 years, go ahead and sign up for something else where you can learn and benefit from than mine. I'd love to meet you. You'll meet me. I'll be walking around. I'll be meeting folks, saying hi, signing books, things like that. But the key is I don't want you to waste, you know, whatever it is, $90 for my segment when you've kept chickens over 2 or 3 years, because you may not learn $90 worth of material. If you're new, kept chickens 2 years, getting started, because my whole you know, we're not doing advanced training here. We're doing getting started with backyard poultry. So I'm saying this to be honest with you. You're paying that money. I want you to learn something from your money. And so under 2 years, come and see me. We'll have a great time. We'll learn a lot. Over 2 or 3 years, sign up for something else and get your money's worth regarding that. Because you'll see me in the hallway. You'll see me signing books. You'll see me because I'll be taking and attending these other workshops as well to broaden my knowledge and education about, you know, homestead living and the heritage breeds that are out there in the whole nine yards. So very interested in all of that. So as we get geared, and it still hasn't been confirmed yet. It might happen. It might not. We're looking at maybe the week after we'll launch kind of a 7-day, maybe a 10-day tour. I don't know, have any idea, couldn't even guess where that would be, but we're looking at kicking it off there at the ALBC conference. So we will see, and I will keep, you will be the first to know, I guarantee you, if we choose to go to a couple of few places after that on and working our way back down here to our little homestead. So I'll let you know all about that. So fun. Traveling the country, spreading the chicken love. Trying to think if there's, man, I posted a few on our Facebook page, through the news wire. We have, oh my gosh, and I didn't post them all because, you know, get repetitious and then people would be like, oh, you post so much stuff. So I'm very, I'm careful with that, especially if it's the same thing. But I must have gotten in the last 24 to 48 hours, 7 or 8 towns across America that have approved backyard poultry, whether it be 3 chickens, 6 chickens based on lot size, whatever. It's a start. May not be perfect for your particular town, but it's a great news. And literally, no kidding, maybe between 7, 8, maybe even 10, but I know at least 7 towns across the country just in the last 48 hours that have approved backyard poultry. So people are doing great works. They're getting off their duff. They're getting out there. They're fighting for their rights. They're fighting for the Constitution, their property rights, to do what they want to on their own property. They're working with the cities very diligently to try to, you know, create these ordinances that would be fair to everybody, even though there's already enough laws on most all books to deal with any problems that may come from chickens. They feel like they have to have this one separate ordinance. So anyway, but it's really great, and it's taken the country by storm, as it always has. And I'm very proud to be able to help cities around the country get those laws changed. So it's a big part of our traveling. So let me get over here and see. She may already be listening. So let's see if we can get Arlena to go ahead and call in and have her daughter call in, and we'll go to them as soon as they get into the queue. And speaking of that, we've got a great prize to give away today from Ware Manufacturing. It is an awesome yellow rubber-coated wire egg basket. It is awesome. I'll post a picture a little bit later in the chat room of today's prize. And so maybe sometime during the show there'll be a secret password, or maybe I'll pick something up from the today's guest that I can use as a little question a little bit later. But it's an awesome prize from Ware Manufacturing. It holds 2 dozen eggs, so it's quite large, 2 dozen eggs. And again, it's the kind of the plastic wire, metal wire coated yellow egg basket that holds 2 dozen eggs. So we're going to be giving one of those away towards the end of the show today, and it's going to be awesome. Let's see. I have no sound, but I fear if I refresh, I'll lose the chat room too. Gotcha. So they were saying go to Andy's Facebook page and then click on that link. That's how that's how I get in. When you click on that link, the chat automatically opens up below. I know sometimes it'll spin and spin and spin and spin based on how many people are trying to access it at one time. I do try to open up the chat room early, maybe around 11:40, 11:45, 11:50 at the latest, so people can gradually come in, because if they're all trying to get in the chat room at once, it can get kind of bogged down. So I understand regarding the chat and the technical issues that we sometimes have. Yes, Garden Wise Living is now in at the chat room. Let's say hello to you can see Garden Wise Living over there on the right-hand side of the screen. We can all say thank you and welcome to Arlena as she joins us. In fact, I think today is actually her birthday. It may have been yesterday, either yesterday or today, her birthday. So without further ado, let's give a big welcome to our Garden Wise Living star, Arlena Shaw. Hello, Arlena.
Hello there.
Am I correct? Today's your birthday?
Yes, it is. I am a big 5-0 today.
Really? Yay! Are you serious?
Yes, I am. Oh, I'm excited. Happy 50 to me.
Congratulations, yay! Congratulations, congratulations.
Oh, goodness.
I wish I had some chickens that are clucking to birthday, but I haven't seemed to get my little hands on that to put in the archive here. So, and I'm surely not going to sing you happy birthday, because our listenership will drop probably in half. So I'm not going to do that either. But the question is,
happy birthday.
You'll have nobody that'll hang around to listen to your great advice. So if I did that, but I will ask. Because it's your birthday, are you indulging in a really expensive bubbly today?
I have a wonderful wine that I am sharing with you all today. I had a special guest come, a friend of mine, Linda Lou Miller, who had me speak at her garden club a month or so ago. Well, actually, it's been several months ago. Time does fly, doesn't it? And
yes.
She brought with her a couple bottles of wine to share with me because it was my birthday. So we're having a red raspberry. I'm all into this sweet wine. I know. I'm sorry.
Right.
Today it's red raspberry. It's from Three Lakes Winery, and it is absolutely delicious. And I am sharing it with you today. I have no cake though.
No cake.
Somebody should have made me a cake.
That's an outrage. No cake.
It is. No cake. So first things we're going to do is we're going to pour our wine, which is, again, a red raspberry. It's a semi-sweet raspberry wine. So we have our wine. We better give her a taste.
Okay.
Let's see. That's a good wine. It's sweet. It's a sweet wine. Very sweet wine, which I like, so it's very, very good. You know, this winery is known for its sweet wine, so I'm happy with it. This is a red, again, I just have to have another flavor of taste, because it's my birthday.
It's your birthday. It's your birthday. It's a happy
birthday.
Day. It's your birthday.
I want wine. I'll drink it if I want to. And I got a nice, wonderful new corkscrew from my daughter, Demi Jo. And today's guest, which is really cool, is my daughter, Ashley Lynn Seacamp, who is turning 29 today on my 50th. She was born on my 21st birthday.
Well, hey, your daughter, do you have a picture? I saw a picture of you and your daughter, I think, on one of your pages, Facebook page, recently. That's the one that's coming on today?
Yes, it is. They have J&A Produce and CSA, and they're the ones that are going to be sharing the information on the importance of CSAs.
Yes.
And the sustainable practices that her family does with their farm, and how important it is for us to understand what a CSA is.
Thank
and how
you.
We could be involved in a CSA as well. So, yeah, I'm sorry if I just blew that out of the water. Sorry about that, Andy.
What's that?
I didn't know if you'd already went through all that. But,
no, I didn't. I said thank you because so many people don't even know what CSA are, what it stands for, the importance of those.
Sure.
CSA, you know, you'll see a poster up at maybe a local, hey, CSA this Saturday. Okay, what does that mean? Confederate States of America? It's going to be a Civil War enactment. Right, CSA.
Exactly.
Confederate States of America. Oh, there's going to be a Civil War reenactment this weekend. Let's go over there. And then they get there and there's like tomatoes and corn. So they're not sure what CSA.
Yeah, exactly. So I agree with you there. There's a lot of people, including myself, you know, you can still teach new dogs new tricks or old dogs new tricks. Of course, knew what a CSA was, but not the full extent of it until my daughter and son-in-law got involved. So it's been wonderful. And I'm real excited that there she's going to be on, not only because, well, I'm going to have another drink of wine. This is just really good.
They said in the chat room that you need to open up, since it's your birthday, two bottles, because they were wondering, they wanted to see by the end of the show how that would affect you, two bottles, if you would be like, you know.
If I actually had two bottles left, too bad we didn't have vision. We could show you my bottles of wine, exactly. And new dogs, old tricks, yes. Oh, so yes, it's a very good wine, and I'm real excited about having my daughter, whose birthday is today, too, so I thought, what a great day for her to be on and share with us the importance of CSA. Yes, we can Skype. We should Skype, so that would be fun as well.
Now,
so, yes.
What, you'd be calling in here in a few minutes, and what area code?
715-299 it should start with. And
okay,
I believe I told her to... Yes.
1230?
715-299. I don't know if you
just
want
for her to call in. That's not a problem whatsoever.
Exactly.
Yeah. We can chat until she arrives. Everything in our garden is put in now, Arlena, for our fall garden, except for two things. One, our onion sets. I've got to call the garden center and see if they've got those in. They said a couple of weeks. That was a couple of weeks ago. So if they have them in, I'll be getting them this Saturday and planting them, the onion sets. And I made the executive decision to wait because I didn't want to waste my time or my effort or the seed to put in my English peas. I put them in last year. Of course, I knew I got them in late, about a month late. I got them in the 29th of September instead of maybe the 1st. And so they're still not in. It's already the 19th. So I told Jen, I said, I made the decision. I'm going to keep all the seed, but I'm going to plant the English peas when we plant our early spring garden in about in mid-February, and I'll get them in the ground then, mid-February to late February, because that's when really most people have success with planting them, not necessarily in the fall, though people do. And so I'm just not going to waste my time if I'm not going to get peas. So I've decided to put those in my little storage bank here, and I will plant those. And I haven't got the garlic yet. I think you said November would be the time to plant the garlic, so I'm holding out on that. But other than that, everything's going great. We had some beautiful, beautiful rain last couple of days here. Nice showers, so won't have to irrigate for about a week, and everything's just growing like gangbusters. So everything here in the fall garden is doing well. And enjoyed your last episode talking about all of that and fall gardens and things like that. So,
we had a frost, a really heavy frost the night before last. So, I can see where my basil is done for, other than the bottom leaves, of course. You know, and it always does that here in Wisconsin. It gives us a hard freeze, a hard frost, and then it warms up nice. So if you get everything covered, you're good for another probably month with a fall garden. So we're still hanging in there with tomatoes and, of course, cool weather things. You know, the Swiss chard looks beautiful always. And winter squash is ready, and people are picking pumpkins. So it's just been really good. So, yes, I'm really excited to hear that you're ready for your planting for your fall garden, and we're going to be excited to hear about all that.
Especially the garlic. Now, like I said, I got bummed out. You know, I wasn't going to plant garlic. You talked me into it. I'm like, great. And then I got talked out of it because you said you got to plant it in November, and then you can't even harvest it until, like, July. And I'm like, that's a lot of area for a long time. A little bit of garlic, put in one sauce. So I was like, I don't know, but I think I'm going to have a little area dedicated to garlic this year just for you.
Oh, good. I'm excited for you. You're just going to be excited when you see that garlic come up in the spring. You're going to go, oh, my gosh, I am so glad, and you're just going to enjoy it so much.
Thank you. Hey, one show we got to do coming up, because we're right in the boat with everybody else, probably want to do it here in the next couple of weeks, maybe the next time you're on. That'll eliminate us having to think of a topic. maybe, and I've done this before, maybe even last year, but since, again, we've got a lot of rollover listeners and listeners that have joined us recently, you never can repeat a show too much. But I would love to, maybe the next time you come on, we talk about fruit trees.
Yes.
Because it is now time as we roll into fall, and it gets fall sooner than later than in some places, that we talk about planting fruit trees, the importance of how to plant them, where to plant them, the whole night, when to plant them, and all of that, whether it be peach and apple and plum and pear and, mm-hmm. and all of those great things. So maybe the next show we can talk about preparing and planting for fruit trees in the fall.
That will actually be a perfect topic, since I purchased myself a happy birthday present
Uh-oh.
Of 5 fruit trees. So we can save all that for the next show. So everybody has to tune in to see what varieties I actually purchased.
Ah, there
and
you go. Good, good.
There
good.
We go. It's perfect. It's perfect.
That's
so
awesome.
So that's right. We'll do that. It'll
when
be
I was
perfect.
Tractor Supply, I guess, yesterday, no, Monday it was, and over in Columbus where we had an outing, I stopped by. And they actually had some fruit trees. I had no idea, to be honest, that Tractor Supply, and it may be just select markets, like a lot of things, like my books and Tractor Supply. But they had a few. And these trees were probably about 6 feet tall, 5 to 6 feet tall, and they were $19.99. And they had a few decent choices. They look pretty good. So. I may have to revisit there. I may find a good local nursery somewhere down in this area that's got some nice 5-6 foot tall trees. But we are definitely going to try to get our orchard started here at the homestead with fruit trees. So definitely forward to that.
That's what we're doing. We're putting them in. And we also did purchase some seedless Concord grapes, and we're going to plant them sometime. And some seedless Thompson seedless for eating, and then some thornless raspberries. So that'll be a great topic for next time is our fruit trees, because it seems like there's a lot of interest in getting a home orchard started. So that's perfect. Yes. That's perfect, Andy. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a plan, folks. So listeners, mark it on your calendar. Let's see. That would be 2 weeks from today. So the 3rd, October the 3rd, will be the
October
next time.
3rd.
And we'll be talking all about fruit trees and how to plant, where to plant, what to plant, and all that kind of good stuff. And
perfect.
And one thing that concerns me, being in the Deep South, is how labor intensive I assume they're going to be, just from local rumors. Oh my gosh, you have to spray and spray and spray and spray and spray, and I'm worried about that because we want to try to be as organic as possible, all natural, organic. So people are spray, 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 spray. Oh, you got dust and spray and dust and spray, and then you got to tarp them with the stuff so the birds and all. So I'm kind of a little. Again, hesitant concerned as I tread lightly here to get this orchard going. I know that's not all trees. I know that peaches may be a little bit more labor intensive than an apple, but so a little worried about that.
Oh, it'll be fine. We'll discuss all that. That'll be a good topic. I wouldn't worry too much about it. It depends on what you want to do. Do you want to open an orchard stand? Probably not. You would probably enjoy, canning and preserving and making apple pies and then not worrying about the spray. And a couple worms don't bother me, I'm telling you. As long as we don't get fungus in them, then there's lots of things we can use that are natural for that as well. So.
Well, its wife says, Andy, you don't have to unless you want unblemished and poison fruit.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say, dear. So, yeah, you'll enjoy it. It'll be a great topic. I wonder if Ashley's here yet.
I'm looking and I don't see. I see only one area code call-in from 715. And I see a 203 and a 903. But that's it. No others from 715.
I wonder if she called in on her home line. It should still be 715 area code.
Nothing
yet.
I tell you what, I can go to a short commercial break. You can give her a call off the air and say, hey, honey, get your butt on over here. We're talking about you.
I will definitely do that. She is drunk. Ashley probably is not having any wine yet, but she might join me with one. I'm sure of it.
That sounds like
a plan. Okay, I'll get a hold of her.
That sounds good. And we'll be back. Arlena Schott, everybody. Garden Wise Living with Arlena. And her daughter is going to be joining us, who apparently owns a CSA. And so she's going to, what is a CSA? What's it stand for? Why is it important? What can you expect when you go about the farming and what they require? Really neat stuff today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We hope you'll stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break. Stay tuned. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. And you can find all the great Ware products here. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Snap-lock chicken coops. The American-made, maintenance-free, plastic hen house. With its double-wall construction and adjustable ventilation, it's the perfect year-round home for your small flock. It will not fade or rot and is unaffected by rain, sun, heat, cold, or chemicals. The removable litter and nesting trays make cleaning a breeze. Every access point is lockable for maximum predator resistance. Snap-lock chicken coops weigh just 40 pounds and snap together in minutes. So spend more time enjoying your flock and less time building and maintaining your coop. For additional information, please visit snaplockchickencoops.com. Also available at mypetchicken.com, critter-cages.com, and chickensforbackyards.com. It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Let's head back over here to the phone lines and click here on Arlena's number here. Arlena, are you back with us?
I am here, yes.
All right.
I don't know. Is she in the queue, you think, or?
What number?
I thought it was 715-299-4180, but.
Nope.
Nope.
I've got a 903. 903, is that you?
No. Ashley? Okay. It's not Ashley.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, let me do this. Let me refresh the switchboard page. Maybe she's out there in La La Land. See if she'll appear. Nope.
Well, then, Ashley, we need you to call in, dear. If you're in there, if you're already called in, then you just need to let us know. Call somebody else or uncall in and let us know your phone number that you're calling in, but I would think that it would be a 715 number, correct?
Okay.
If it's Wisconsin, there isn't any other area code for 7. There's a 608. There's area code, but when I call her, it's 715.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yep.
And she's got the same number, the 347-637-3237?
347. I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
Her call-in number, the number she should call.
I believe so. I gave the whole thing to her, yes. And she's, yep, not Ashley. Hmm. I am 903. Hmm.
Who's 903?
Well, Ash, I don't know what to tell you.
Okay.
347.
Oh, so chat room was saying 903. Gotcha. So the fam farm was. Let's see. Well, you can't. Can you private message me her number in the chat room, and then I'll try to call her through the switchboard. How about that?
Okay. We can see if we can do that.
See if we can do that, because I don't have anything coming up. I give it a 903, and then you 715, and that's it. So maybe I can try to call her from the switchboard.
Hmm. It's 715-299.
Wait. Okay.
Oh, you want me to tell you?
No, just private message me.
Okay, I can do
she
that.
She might get 50,000 calls from people.
Oh, I don't care.
I want to come to your CSA and see that poor reenactment.
Okay.
Walter says, I now believe that she is passed out and drunk.
Yep. Well, let me see. Now, for some reason, my private message isn't working. Okay. Hmm.
It didn't work?
I tried my daughter to call her. Oh, she's in jail. That could be. I don't care. Here's her number.
Send it over there to me. You clicked on Chicken
Whisper. Or Demi Joe. 4180, right, Pook? 4180. 299-4180. 715. She deserves a whole bunch of calls.
Okay, then get back up to the studio and hang on just a second. Okay, I'm ready. We got 715. Okay. 299. What was the rest?
Oh, I'm sorry. 4180. 4180.
Okay. Let's see what happens.
Hi, you've reached Ashley Seacamp. I'm not available right now, so please leave your name and number, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Here we go.
You've also reached J&A Produce. Please leave your name and number, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thank you. Bye.
At the tone, please record your message.
I'm going to leave a message
when you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is L.A. radio station KWZ8, and you have just missed your chance to win $1 million. You had entered, and oh, my gosh, this is unbelievable. We have to go to the next drawing now, but I'm so sorry. You were going to win $1 million from our radio station, but I'm sorry you didn't pick up. We'll have to try it back next time. I am so, so sorry.
That is funny. That is just you. Mean, yeah, that is funny. Well, you know what? That's just that's the way it goes. We'll have to talk about CSA ourselves, I suppose. Community supported agriculture. I was like, okay, Ash, this is not good on my birthday. She was going to do all the talking. Okay. Well, maybe she's sitting there. She would have the right phone number or would have called me about 42 times or, yeah. Okay. Community Supported Agriculture, CSA. It's become very popular for consumers to buy local seasonal food directly from a farmer. That's what a CSA is about. Here are the basics. A farmer offers a certain number of shares to the public. Typically, the share consists of a box of vegetables, but other farm products may be included. For instance, Ashley and Jason, she's actually picking for her CSA today. So she probably got caught up out there in the darn world of her garden and is thinking that I meant next year or something. I don't know. But anyway, she is picking for her CSA today. And what typically happens is she promotes her farm as a CSA, a community-supported agriculture, which Ashley and Jason have about 6 acres, I believe, in produce, vegetables. They grow all natural, and they are working on getting certified organic, and that's J&A Produce in Merrill, Wisconsin. Now, what she does is she goes to a lot of farmers' markets and things of that nature, and she puts out there that we're offering ourselves as a CSA, which is you can buy into their farm. Basically, you're buying into their family, into the garden. You own a piece of that garden. So, for instance, if they buy a full share, it's a certain amount of money, which means they get, as soon as that garden starts producing, they get, for instance, once a week, a box of vegetables. So if Ashley's picking spring greens, maple syrup, for instance, that they do themselves there on the farm, jams and jellies early spring, then that's what they'll get if they get Swiss chard. If the garden is producing Swiss chard, for instance, that's what they're going to get in their box. They're going to get Swiss chard. They're going to get, some maple syrup. Whatever is producing at that time of year is what your share will consist of. So either you can purchase a full share or you can purchase a partial share. A full share means you get a box, I believe, once a week, and hopefully she'll come on and tell us if I'm not telling the whole truth or nothing but the truth. Or if you buy a partial share, then you get a box every 2 weeks, I believe, or of something of that sort. I really do hope she comes on and tells me the rules of her CSA because I have a garden. What then happens, like for instance today, is 3 o'clock pickup today at her farm stand, and her CSA members will come and they will pick up their boxes that have their share of what is in there. And right now, I believe, is tomatoes and Swiss chard and potatoes and eggs because they do have free-range chickens. I believe, what else did she say they have?
Is that prepaid? So, like, you don't just say, okay, I'll write you a check each day that you come here each week and deliver this box of goodies, but, like, ahead of time, based on the product, if I own a portion of, say, that 6 acres, maybe at the beginning of the season, she works out, okay, it's going to be $500. Give me $500, and then every week for the next producing season of this fall garden of, 6 weeks, then you'll get, a box every week. Or is that just basically, I leave you a check on the back door and you deliver it and take the check? Is it paid like that? Do you know? Earlier,
no, actually, it is prepaid.
Okay.
It is prepaid. I do know that for a fact. So at the beginning of the for instance, right now she's taking CSA members for the next season. So you're actually buying into the fact that, okay, maybe I'm going to get a late frost and lose all my plants. Well, if it's a good thing. You know what I'm saying? You pretty much take on that garden like it's yours.
Uh-huh.
But you don't have to weed it. You don't have to fertilize it. You don't have to pick. You just show up and pick up your box. So it is prepaid, yes. And you're saying to that farmer that I believe in you. I believe in your family practices. I want to help you remain a sustainable family farm. So I'm going to buy into your CSA. I'm going to give you a certain amount of money for the year, whether it be a full share or a half share. And then every set date, they come to the farm and they pick up their box that has J&A produce on it, and they will get their goodies. And depending on what the garden is producing at that time is what will be in that box. So right now I know she's got pumpkins, Swiss chard, eggs, watermelon, pumpkins, I already said that, winter squash. They're still picking some jalapenos. They're still picking some basil. So each one of those things will be a portion in that box. So if your family is a family like yours yours, you might want just a half a share, depending on how many vegetables you think you will be able to eat between share times. A family of five or six may want a full share, depending on, you know, how many people are in that family. So it's really a great way for us to, you know, to help prepare everybody, you know, to help the family farm stay alive, first of all, to if we cannot garden, for instance, or are unable to garden or do not have the property to garden or just flat don't want to, but we want to know where our food comes from, then CSAs are a great way to be involved. And Ashley and Jason always say, come on out to the farm anytime you want, see where the produce is grown, see how we plant it in the spring if you'd like. Come in the middle of summer if you'd like. Come anytime, you know, let us know. Come out and visit your fruit, your garden, basically. So it's really a great way for us as consumers to know where our food comes from. And you've heard me say it about 1,550,000 times. It's up to us completely to know where our food comes from. It's not up to the grower. It's up to us. So just do a little research. Farmers markets, like you say, a lot of CSAs will take their extra produce to farmers markets, and you can find them there. And then eventually Ashley and Jason want to add grass-fed beef, and they want to add free-range chicken and, you know, things. They're just slowly – this is, I believe, their second or third season in their CSA. They're that young. And it's just really been well-received in the area. And we are pretty much there in Black River Falls, which is a pretty rural area. So it's exciting to see that a CSA, even in a rural area, will still be sustainable for them and their family. So anything, you know, so then you know for a fact that you at least have this amount of money coming in every year to plan for your garden. That's what a CSA is great about. You know, it's already prepaid. So
now, being in Wisconsin, like down here, we were very blessed. I literally could garden year-round. This fall garden last year, we were blessed with great weather. I mean, I was harvesting up through December, and then maybe December, January, maybe January, we you know, have time to prepare. And then literally first to the mid-February, we're planting an early spring garden with potatoes and again, pretty much everything we planted back at the beginning of fall. And then, you know, so now with Wisconsin, with the harsh winters and a CSA, is it year-round? Is it more just spring, fall, and then winter they take a break, or they be creative and do other things in the winter? Or are there winter crops, even though it's harsh up there, they would be able to produce?
Well, correct. For right now, their CSA starts in March, I believe, and that's when they'll get maple syrup because they do their own maple syrup off their own land and their own trees. Then it starts in with the cool weather crops. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to stop you right there. It looks like she has called in. So.
Yay, good.
You're off the hook now.
I call that a puma. Pull it out of my, and you're going to add the ASS word because I can't say it all, but that's a puma for me. I pulled all that right out.
We're going to give you some credit because we'll have her start kind of at the beginning, and then we will be able to critique. Oh, well, Arlene was wrong about that. She was wrong. And Owen, she was wrong about that, and she was wrong about this. So now we're getting the factual information. So now we get to cross-reference with the CSA expert. So let me go ahead and bring her on. Welcome to the show. And what's her name again, Arlena?
Ashley.
Ashley.
Yes, are you there? Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I am. I'm doing great. I was actually outside picking for my CSA members because it looks like it's going to rain. And so I was like, oh, no, I come in the house, and I was thinking I'd be good in time, but... Sorry about that.
Now wait, we're all. Do you need to head back out? Because I know that comes first. Business comes first. Clients come first.
No.
Okay.
No, I was fine. I just wanted to get some last minute. You know, do a little here or there. That's usually what I do. But yeah, I have a CSA, is a community supported agriculture program, and Mom was correct on 2 years now. Mm-hmm. We have 8 members, which we've been going strong with 8. And, of course, CSA is just knowing where your food comes from, knowing your grower. You know, I'm basically local-grown produce. A full share is a box of vegetables that 'll feed a family of 4, and then a half share is a family of 2. I have a lot of retired people that use the half share a little bit of extra, you know. They might not have the time for it anymore or just don't feel up to it. So I'm a young whippersnapper, so me and my husband enjoy doing that for people. And then a full share, people, I actually have a couple or two that actually share a full share. So their friends kind of work it all out, and they'll come every other week, you know, and share off of that, which is kind of nice.
Do they come and pick it up? Do you deliver, or do they come and pick that share up from you each week?
Yeah, for right now, I just do it right off the farm.
Great.
They come to the farm, and I kind of set up my stand, my farmer's market stand, as a farmer's market, and I make a newsletter and kind of write down in the newsletter what you'll be getting in the box and just kind of fun tips of how to, you know, maybe preserve your produce or how to wash it properly or store it. And then also a fun recipe that maybe I want to try or that my mom has tried and I want to try it. So I kind of give it to them and it gives them ideas. I have been wanting to expand a little bit more, but at this point I'm kind of happy of just staying local with eight people and then going to the farmer's markets. It keeps me pretty busy and on my toes. So.
And then your mom said that you've got about 6 working acres there. 6 acres,
yes.
Farmed.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
In garden.
Pretty
in
much
garden.
At all times. Yep.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Great.
It's about 7.5 acres in produce, and then we own 20 acres, which we get to rotate crops. We have a couple acres that are all seeded down. They've been seeded down for almost 2 years now, so it's organic. You know, more organic purpose of doing it instead of spraying for weeds and stuff like that or adding fertilizer that's not natural. You know, we seed it down and put green manure, as we call it, back into the ground, and then my husband will till it under and then we'll plant right into that.
Cool. Now be careful. If you perfect timing there, Arlena, with the wine. I was like, if you have her too much involved with your CSA, you may end up having to add a bottle of wine in every box every week. So.
Well, I know we.
Yeah,
did
that's
pay,
funny.
We did just give my son-in-law Jason, and for his birthday, we did give him, I think, eight or ten grapes to plant, and they just finished planting those grapes. So, you know, I wouldn't put it past them to have a bottle of wine eventually in that.
There you go. Absolutely.
And also blackberries, too. So
that's
my
right.
father-in-law enjoys making wine, so he'll be happy, too.
Yes.
That is awesome. Now, let me ask you this, because that's a lot of work for two people, 7 acres in planted produce. We've got about an acre, and it's all we can do with us to do that with our family. But let me ask you this, because so people don't think, well, she's got 7 acres, and she has 8 customers, and that, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, they're not consuming all of that. So I guess you go to other farmers' markets and sell your produce, or you sell them for others that roadside, because obviously with 8 customers, getting that box of produce every week doesn't fulfill 7 acres of produce that you've got, I'm just guessing. So with all the other, do you go to farmers market yourself, load up the truck on a Saturday and head, and because with 7.5 acres, what are the other uses of all of your produce that you have that come in?
Yes, on Tuesdays, I go downtown to Black River and set up at the farmers market from 2 p.m., to 6 p.m., and then I pack up. And then Wednesdays I have my CSA pickups, so I pick then. And then Thursdays is downtown again at a different location in Black River.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fridays I go to where Mom lives in Whitehall and set up there, which is 45 minutes away.
Wow.
And then Saturdays I'm back downtown in Black River. And then Sunday is my kind of revamp, you know, and obviously this stand is always stocked. I really enjoy a call ahead. You know, I have a nice size sign that has my phone number on it, and I really try to promote that, you know, call ahead for easy pickup, and that way it's fresh and you know where it comes from as soon as you come here and pick it up. We did have the farm stand over right on Highway 12, but we decided that it wasn't safe enough for my kids at the time, And I wanted to meet people personally. So now we're still on the honor system, and it's in my yard. But, yes, it's fully stocked, and I actually sell quite a bit of produce. There's hardly any waste. I do have, you know, 36 chickens.
Right.
So, I mean, they get fed enough, and I have friends and family, and, you know, we enjoy giving away to friends and family or, you know, my father-in-law or my sisters, my sister-in-laws. You know, they come up from Illinois, and we usually send them home with quite a bit of produce. And, yeah, actually, it's sometimes at some points it gets a little overwhelming. You know, Mom will have to come over and help me out. I've looked into a couple of different programs to have interns come on my farm and help out, and so I'm really trying to get into that more so I can be more efficient as in on myself and everything. But other than that, I do a lot of freezing and canning, so we're set for the winter time too, so hardly any goes to waste. You'd be surprised. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say that. Go ahead. Go ahead, Arlene.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just going to ask her to tell you about her new addition out there in the field that you have just lately put up.
Oh, yeah. Yes, United States of America, or USDA, or FSA, whatever the situation,
mm-hmm.
Granted us a grant this February for a greenhouse or a hoop house. Or,
wow, awesome.
High tunnel. You know, there's quite a few different names for them. I just call it a greenhouse, but I suppose when you think greenhouse, people think that it's going to be a nursery or something like that. So I want to try to stick to hoop house. I try telling myself that. So, yes, it will be extending our growing season and then also helping us out in the spring, getting stuff started early. With this grant, we have to plant right into the ground. We can't have any, like, raised beds or anything like that.
Right.
Obviously, the purpose is to extend the season. So for right now, we have lettuce planted in there, radishes, Swiss chard, beets, cucumbers, zucchini, and a few other cold, hardy plants, you know, peas and green beans and broccoli. Carrots, kale does pretty good, but I do want to start some more cabbage and cauliflower. I mean, we're not looking to heat it, so we're going to see how far we can push it with Mother Nature willing. Hopefully she'll let us keep it a little bit longer than we hoped. So since last night we did get a pretty good frost, so I did cover up my my cucumbers that I planted at the end of July. So we're doing pretty good on those. But, yeah, I'm excited about the greenhouse, you know, to get our name more out there earlier and also be starting maybe a spring share or a later fall share with my CSA. So, yeah, Michelle Obama put the money all aside, and that's how we got that. But so I'm really excited and really feel privileged, and it took quite a while and a little bit of a process, but it was all worth it at the end. Definitely worth it.
Question in the chat room, does and Arlene had started to answer this, does the CSA run through the wintertime with the hoop house now?
See, with the hoop house, it's our first year. So we want to see how efficient we can be without heating it, and then go from there. And then, you know, do some experimenting this year with possibly a wood stove in there to see how we can do that, or, you know, because it's a lot of money to get some of them systems, the heating systems to them. And for right now, I mean, that money is not available unless we go for another grant, you know, something like that. So for right now, I'm just going to see how far this takes us, and then we'll plan more for next year. So, so the question is probably not this year. Not this year, but hoping. You know, it's plans that are in the works, and to use the greenhouse as full and, you know, use it as much as possible anyway.
Perfect. Very, very good. What are some of the things you had talked a little bit about the some of the things you have. Tell us kind of if someone joins at the beginning of the season, what pardon me, what can they expect throughout, you know, when they get the box and they have just some of the crops that you're producing when they see that. And you covered a few of them, but for right now, maybe this week, what are some of the things they'll see on the back porch or when they come to pick up their box of goodies?
Well, we started June 15th this year, and in our CSA box, we had asparagus, rhubarb, radishes, lettuce, cold weather crops. And then also we put a bottle of maple syrup in there. It's kind of a nice treat. We make our own pure maple syrup. We tap all the maple trees on the land. And there's not much to do in March around here, so we really enjoy just sitting by the campfire and boiling down sap.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like watching sap boil.
Right. It's fun. We enjoy it.
It's kind of like watching grass grow. But
and we drink wine and watch the
sap. And we drink
boil.
Wine and have a good time and usually do chicken on the grill. And the kids finally get out of the house. It's like the first thing, like, yay, no more cabin fever, you know, the sun's out and... Mm-hmm. So we're smelling maple syrup boiling down, and obviously when you get into the middle of the summer, it's a pretty full box. Some people, like for instance, on July 27th of last year, I have written down one bunch of Swiss chard, 1 pound of broccoli, 1 head of cauliflower, 1 head mm-hmm. of green cabbage, 2 pounds of new red potatoes, a zucchini. And then, obviously, I grow a lot of flowers, like zinnias and then glads.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, I plant the glads and dig them up in the fall and then plant them again. So they get either a bunch of glads or a bunch of zinnias, which are really good cutting flowers anyway, or display, and they last a while. Onions, red or white, yellow. We do 3 different varieties.
Mm-hmm.
2 slicing cucumbers and a bunch of fresh herbs. Either I kind of trade it out between basil, cilantro, oregano, sage, or rosemary. I kind of use incorporate the recipe with the fresh herbs or whatever I put in their box that week, which is kind of nice because some people don't know what to do with fresh herbs, or they're just so used to cooking the same thing with vegetables. So it's kind of fun for both of us to enjoy a new recipe.
Exactly.
That's
let me ask you this. It's you had talked about kind of your schedule throughout the week, and then you had about 7-8 subscribers to the CSA. Would that sound that I guess you're interested in increasing that. My question, since I'm not and don't have one and curious, is would it be based on your guests and your travel time and sitting there at the farmer's market and things, would it be as a CSA, would you rather have more of those folks that buy from you at these markets? I guess it's an issue. Would somebody 30 miles away actually drive there to participate versus them that they would buy if you're there in their town? So I guess I get that portion is, hey, look, I can drive 2 miles down the road and get the same stuff and I can choose what I want and then versus drive 30 minutes to her farm and participate in the CSA. Is that a big issue, or is it more profitable for CSAs to say, hey, I've got more members and I don't have to go to all these markets anymore?
Yeah, I think if I had more members, I probably wouldn't have to go to farmers market, which is kind of sad because they're pretty fun to interact with people every day. So I would miss it. But on the other hand, yes, I would know where my produce is going, you know. With farmers markets, it's kind of a gamble. You know, I pick as much as I possibly can and take it, but I don't know if I'm going to sell it or not.
Right.
Usually I just I think of it in my head. If I run out, that's a good thing, you know.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Not always a good thing, but at the same time, there is no waste, you know. Most of the things that I don't run out of are obviously the things that are easier to keep, like your potatoes and your zucchini. And, I mean, you know, this stuff is pretty hardy, and it doesn't really get hurt. You know, obviously
I plan farmers markets around our meals. No.
There you go.
We're having a lot of Swiss chard tonight. No. You'd be surprised. People really like Swiss chard.
Oh.
But, and then I was I found another newsletter from September 21st, 2011. Watermelon, tomatoes, winter squash already, kale, orange cauliflower, which I grew last year from seed, and I have a couple coming, so orange cauliflower and purple cauliflower. I usually do a couple of fun different things that people probably have never tried before, or they've probably seen it, but probably were like, oh, I don't know about that, you know, and then potatoes and of course, flowers. So August 10th, kohlrabi, beets, cabbage, broccoli, yellow beans, potatoes, basil, zucchini, bread. You know, I kind of get fun. I'm a baker, so I enjoy passing that on to my CSAs. And, of course, sweet corn. Do sweet corn and jams and jellies. I usually give them jam or a jelly. They can pick either raspberry, grape. I did a new one of strawberry, blueberry this year. I like to dabble in jellies, and they're really good sellers at farmers markets, too. You know, and that's another thing that, you know, going to farmers markets, I can make a little bit more money with the jams and jellies, and it's something that the folks really enjoy, something that's homemade, and or people that are not much of a kitchen person. So I really enjoy doing the jams and jellies for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Everybody loves jams and jellies. Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody does.
Well, yeah.
Jalapeno jelly as well, and she has that.
Oh, yeah.
And then she does a wonderful zucchini bread. And that's nice that her CSA members get to have that in their box as well.
Yeah.
So Ashley and Jason do a lot of fun, you know, mix-it-up stuff, which makes it interesting for people. And like she said, it gives them opportunity to try things that they may not have ever tried, like Swiss chard, for instance, in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
What is Swiss chard? You know, where Ashley, you know, puts it in and then also does a newsletter that helps them cook it and know understand what it's about.
I loved my answer. I don't know if you saw it or not, Arlena. They were like, I've never heard of that. What's Swiss chard? And I said, it's Swiss cheese that's burnt on the grill.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah,
so that was from somebody from Florida. So it's put it in salads, and it is very good. So let's talk about, for our men listeners out there, let's talk about your farm equipment. 7.5 acres.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about, you know, you got the big John Deere with the air conditioned cab and GPS on it, or
no. My husband would love that. He would see it in his day.
Absolutely.
He grew up in Aurora, Illinois, so it's 30 minutes from Chicago. So when he would come up here to help his cousins out farming and stuff, and he got to drive tractors, so he's always wanted to be a farmer, which is pretty hilarious considering I came from a farming family.
Uh-huh.
You know, my mom, and then my dad grows alfalfa, so it was kind of ironic that I married a kind of a city boy. Not really, though. I mean, he came up here for deer hunting and stuff like that, and they always had the cabin with a garden and stuff. But, you know, we just have a fortunate enough to have a father-in-law who enjoys tractors. You know, he grew up on this farm that we live on, grew up down the road. So he's acquired tractors through his dad. You know, there's still a John Deere tractor, 1942, that his dad bought brand new back in the
nice.
Day. So you still use that one. I call it the putt-putt because it just putt-putt-putt. Jason gets all excited. Look at what this can do, you know. I'm not sure why he gets excited about that. But, you know, men and their toys. So we have those we have a Ford, Ford International, John Deere's. There's about 5 or 6 different tractors on this farm that are, you know, just been a hobby farming tractors, but now we use them. Yeah, we put them to use, good use. And then last year we bought a diesel Oliver, which is, can't remember how much horsepower that is.
Uh-huh.
Forgive me about the size of tractors.
Yeah, that's
if it
okay.
was a truck or a car, I probably could tell you.
Yeah.
You're right.
But
But it's a pretty big tractor. It's got dual wheels on the back, and we use that mainly for most of it. But then the smaller tractors, just your usual garden tractor we use for digging up potatoes. We've got an old Amish potato digger. You know, we Jason and my father-in-law went to an auction and got that for a couple $100, and they always look for manure spreaders and fix them up. You know, they're really big on it's recycling other people's hand-me-downs. So they just work on them and fixing new things. Or my husband's a really good welder, so he welds things together and makes them operate a little bit better. So, yeah, we have quite a few tractors, and I have a Ranger that's got six wheels, and I was lost without that thing. This summer we had to have a couple of parts rebuilt in the engine. So that was a pretty penny, and I missed it. But I have a four-wheeler that I ran around with a basket on the front.
Yes.
It was like Dorothy, a little bit modified with the basket with Toto on it. So
right.
Yeah.
And she has a tiller like mine.
Yes. Yeah.
So
I have.
She is not against tilling.
No. Well, with those rows, yeah, you need to till it.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A big, nice tiller, and I want to get one that's handheld like Mom has, so that's my next fun toy I hope to have. Mm-hmm. Oh, P.S., it's our birthday today, so can we get... anybody out there has got a... anybody who has a little handheld rototiller, no, just sit there.
I don't want it anymore. We'll send it on to Ashley. I take mine over every once in a while, but I don't leave it overnight.
Oh.
Yeah, let's donate to Ashley and Jason's C-Camp tiller fund for their miniature tiller. Oh, goodness. So what happens, Ashley, if you have a member that says, goodness, I'm getting way too much produce in my box to be able to use it up between times of pickup? What happens then? Do they have the option of not taking as much, or do you not do that because that gets a little confusing?
Of course. I am actually very, very flexible. You know, I understand that life is crazy, and maybe, you know, you're going on vacation or something like that. I have quite a few members that, you know, they'll call me up a week before and say, we're headed out of town for a week and we're having such and such pick up our box. So, you know, if somebody, yeah, if they were getting too much produce, I mean, they could obviously ask a friend. You know, if one of their friends would want some produce, they could give it away, or it would just be sold right on my farm or at a farmer's market. I'm not discriminated against people that have getting too much produce, because, yeah, usually it's can be overwhelming for people that may not be used to so much vegetables. You know, that's the purpose of the CSA, is to get people more involved with vegetables. But maybe if you're, you know, I have a CSA member, she's by herself, but she has a full share. And it's quite funny that she gets all this produce, but she just really enjoys it, and she's a cook at home, and she does have a full-time job, but the kids are all grown up and left the coop, but she just enjoys it. So you have I have a variety of people that have different needs, and I'm willing to work with that. I mean, it's totally understandable. I'm not going to be against that. So
no. Mm-mm. And as far as your plans for your CSA, as far as I think I mentioned, you eventually have plans for maybe grass-fed beef and possibly free-range chicken.
Sorry about my little girl in the back.
No, don't apologize. Family show, occasionally Caleb Hill.
And he always has his wife screaming at him in the back, so we're used to it.
She's chasing the dog around the living room with a blanket. So, anyway. Grass-fed beef. Yeah, we either would like to do our own, or I came upon a guy that left me a message on my answering machine and had me go to his farm where he raises beef, cows, and pick up apples, because he had tons of apples, but he just didn't want everybody in the neighborhood coming over. He just wanted to see if I wanted to pick some apples and sell some on my stand. So I went over there and picked some apples, and we got to talking, and he's actually, him and his brother and a neighbor are actually wanting to get together and advertise for grass-fed beef, naturally grown, you know. So we might go into some kind of agreement with him. We haven't discussed it any further than that because it was we were just picking apples, and he just kind of ran it by me. But it's something that I really want to think of, you know, and get as many people involved in the neighborhood or the community, you know, with grass-fed beef. Or, you know, for right now, I also get just about 2 dozen eggs a day. So my CSA members get a dozen eggs when I'm overflowing, which they will get today. There's also, I'm thinking about adding an egg share.
Cool.
I'm not sure exactly if I want to add an egg share, but I think it would be a good idea to ask my CSAs in a newsletter. You know, I ask them quite a few questions and give me feedback as much as possible.
Yeah.
I enjoy criticism.
At
least it's
really?
Not from.
No,
I love it. Mom chimes in there.
For myself, I'm my biggest critic. So,
yeah,
try to get as much feedback, especially with a business like this. You know, it's a little bit different with the product anyway. It has to be special. So.
Question in the chat room was. I'm sorry. Question in the chat room was what breed chickens do you have there on your farm?
Oh geez, I'm a chicken collector. I'm like
so many.
Like anything. No. My 2-year-olds are Rhode Island Reds,
mm-hmm.
A light Brahma,
mm-hmm.
light Brahmas, and then one. What is she? She's a Board Rock. And then my spring girls that just started laying in August are a silver-laced Wombat, Board Rocks, 3 Americanas, and 3 California Whites, which are a slender, white, pretty little chicken.
Yeah, we are collectors of the chickens.
We are collectors. And I incubated some eggs. I started in the middle of June.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was June 22nd or June 23rd, something like that. And I hatched out 10 of them. So it was a collaboration of Jason's great uncle's eggs and my eggs. So they were kind of a mixed breeds, you know, but it was fun to incubate them and see what I could do with them. And
absolutely.
My father-in-law goes to auctions like crazy. So he bought Sears and Rubach incubator. It looks like a big tuna can.
Yep, I'm familiar.
In 1950 for $5.
Awesome.
So, yeah, it's quite a neat experience with that, and especially you got to hand turn them, you know, to get the proper hatching, or, you know, the instructions that came with it were so old I had to photocopy them because I didn't want to ruin them, you know. I'm on a chicken group on Facebook, and a lot of people commented on it that it's a really good, nice incubator. So, really easy to clean out. So, I have 4 left, unfortunately, but you know, as the world goes and as Mother Nature, you know, we fixed our chicken coop so nothing can get in there. I think I was having a fox or a possum or just something. So, and then the neighbor had bought some. Were they Cochins, Mom, or Bantams?
They're Cochins. He called them Cochins, but we're kind of on the fence of what they really are. You know how that goes.
Right. So if you incorporate the eggs into the CSA, would it be okay? Well, we'll just add a dozen eggs to your CSA box that you pick up each week, and then of course you would implement and when you start that the price difference. The price difference in that when you would start that. So I can't imagine anybody not wanting a dozen fresh eggs.
Yeah, they really enjoy them, and they're really it's really good seller. I was in the store the other day, and it's $4 for a dozen of brown eggs, free ranged. I was like, free range? Are they really free range? You're paying $4 for that. So, yeah, it's exciting to be able to get that. And I also started getting the green eggs for the Americana. Those are fun. Mom's excited, too. She's got some. So, yeah, my CSAs, I think it would do it, you know, I charge $1.50 a dozen and $2 for 18. So you could just incorporate that $1.50 times 20 and have that on to their bill or maybe.
Whoa. Let me stop you there. How much for a dozen eggs?
$1.50.
For a dozen fresh, free-range eggs? Are you? Oh, my Lord.
Give her some crap. Go ahead. Do it. Go,
are you
Andy,
kidding
go.
Me? I thought, and I promise you, back when I just asked that question 30 seconds ago, I thought to myself, and I said, I won't go to price yet, but I was like, so you would probably add, say, $5 to the cost of that box if you added a dozen eggs to it. And so I was saying, or at least, you know, $3.50, $4, so.
Right.
Well the thing is that I have a lot of neighbors. Yeah, you know, we live in the country, so it's not uncommon for eggs to be that cheap. You know, if I went to a farmer's market, let's say in the cities or something like that, I probably could charge $5 for free-ranged organic chicken eggs, you know, but considering the place where we live, money is hard. You know, money's hard, but people just, you know, living like us, you know, it's not paycheck to paycheck, but we're middle class and just living life. And so $1.50 is pretty much your going rate around here. My neighbor behind me was doing $2 a dozen, but he hasn't been selling any, so he took his sign down. I don't know, you know, people have their own chickens, or people know people with chickens, so either they're going to pay the $1.50 or the I guess they'd go somewhere else. But, and then we have a lot of Amish, you know. We have a lot of Amish, too, so they sell them really cheap. So it's really hard to compete with it. But at the same time, yeah, you can't lower yourself or lower your standards. But I think $1.50 is okay. In the summertime, I don't. Yeah. Well, in the summertime, we don't really have much of a feed bill, you know. Mm-hmm. They're running around eating bugs and... Mm-hmm. They get all the fresh, not fresh produce, but day after, you know. And so I think it's, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's a hard question. I guess that's what I was talking about. In the store, I looked at free-range brown eggs, and they were $4. And I was just like, oh, geez.
Right.
Free-range in the store. Free-range in the store means that they're not in those little tiny 2x2 cages. They're actually in a huge open barn, you know. But
with access to outside.
Access whenever somebody decides that they, access, right. When they go into the crates headed for the slaughterhouse, that's access. That's the only access they get. That's my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. It's so false advertising, so that's amazing. Well, thank you very much for joining us, both of you. Great, great information, learning about CSA and your particular farm up there and your membership and all that you produce and the farmer's markets and the fact that all listeners of the show think we need more people that are doing exactly what you're doing and more people putting gardens in their backyard. And it's great to hear from somebody that's walking the walk, talking the talk, and doing what you're doing and being successful at it. And kudos to you, and all the best in the future for a successful fall and a winter, and of course next spring in your garden, and hope you get many, many, many more memberships and sell out at every farmer's market you go to.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
We'll let you get back out there in the rain and picking all that great stuff.
Actually, it's not raining now, but I did have a couple people show up to the stand, but I have a box they can put money in, so we're good.
Good deal.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, Ashley.
Thank you. Happy birthday, Mom.
We'll see you tonight.
Okay.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
How cool is that, Arlena? So both have the birthday, celebrate your birthday at the same time. Maybe tonight, Arlena, you'll get a nice big birthday cake.
We are. We're all going out to dinner. My my son is from Nevada. He ranches and farms in Nevada, and he's flying in for a friend of his wedding this weekend, so he's actually flying in today.
Cool.
So we're all going out to dinner, the whole family. So I'm sure there's going to be cake and a little bit of wine involved.
just a little bit. Yeah, just
a little bit.
A little bit of cake and a little more wine, I would guess, if I had,
yeah.
if I was betting man, but... No, that sounds like it's going to be fun. So, very good. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and I really look forward to you coming on here on the 3rd of October, your next day with Garden Wise Living with Arlena, and we will be talking about planting fruit trees, all about the spraying if need be, and netting, and plant a plant, when to plant, and benefits, and all that great stuff. Fruit trees. Fall
fruit
is the time
trees.
To plant them, and we'll be talking about that here in a couple of weeks.
Wonderful. I'm excited. I'll see you then. You guys have a wonderful day, and don't forget to garden wise.
Hey, thank you, and happy, happy birthday, Arlena. Thank you so much
thank
for coming
you.
On.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, sweetie. All righty. Happy birthday to Arlena. We're going to go to well, you know what? I'll go to commercial break while people are calling in to win this awesome prize I've got. It is a Ware Manufacturing egg basket. It holds 24 eggs right out of your backyard. It is a coated wire yellow egg basket, and I will try to get a picture of that and post it in the chat room, but most all of you know what a yellow coated metal egg basket looks like. But I'm going to give one of those away if you know the answer to the following question, if you are paying attention today. And let me see. First, let me get over here to the chat room, and let me get somebody to post in a number caller. So the first number I see in the chat room is the number caller that we're going to go to. The first number I see in the chat room is the winning number caller that I will actually go to. So just post a number there in the chat room. Okay. Lucky number 7 from Dragonflyer. So number caller number 7, and we've got 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. If you know the answer to the following question, and we'll come back after the break and hopefully get a winner. The question is, what does CSA stand for? From today's show, what does CSA stand for? Caller number 7 right now, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. What does CSA stand for? Call us in right now for your chance to win.
When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg candlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey. Technology you can trust. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So the question was, what does CSA stand for? What does CSA stand for? 347-637-3237. And for your chance to win this awesome, probably about a $30 value, this awesome wire, metal wire egg basket. It is coated with, the metal wire is coated with that plastic coating. It's yellow. Probably about a $30 value from Ware Manufacturing. What does CSA stand for? Give us a call now, 347-637-3237. And let me see what we've got here. Okay, I see what happened. My chat room got disconnected from the switchboard, and now I've got to actually manually switch back and forth instead of bringing both of those up on the screen at the same time. So it's just going to take me a little while. The show's almost over, so no fret there. Remember, tomorrow we're going to welcome poultry scientist Dr. Bridget McCray, PhD, and she's going to be talking all about getting started with poultry shows, poultry clubs, youth clubs like FFA, 4-H, and showing poultry. And so that's going to be fun for tomorrow. And then this coming up Friday, we've got Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown and replacement of Monday's show where we were on the road. So very, very cool there. So we have great programming the rest of the week this week. Let's see. And then let's see. Next week, it looks like Monday the 24th. I can't believe, where did September go? I can't believe it's almost over. September the 24th, Ask the Chicken Doctor. The 25th, the Society for Preservation of Poultry Antiquities, historian Christine Heinrich. The 26th will be the small business featured day here. And then Thursday, we'll have, let's see, Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. And then Friday the 28th, another fun Friday with lots of awesome prizes to give away. So very, very cool. Great, great lineup here for the rest of this week and, of course, next week. So let me get over here to the switchboard, and we'll see who wants to take a chance at winning. Who is caller number 7? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're going to the phone lines right now. Caller number 7, you're live on the air with the Chicken Whisperer from area code 248. 248, how are you doing today?
Hi, Andy. It's New Dawn Farm Girl.
New Dawn Farm Girl. Awesome. Very much. Thanks for being a regular listener on the radio show. And the question is, what does CSA actually stand for?
I believe it is Community Supported Agriculture.
Congratulations. Yay! Congratulations. You are 100% correct according to our show today. So what you need to do to claim your prize, just send me over an email, New Dawn Farm Girl, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net, and then in the subject line, put egg basket, and then when the email itself, name, shipping address, phone number, and type in your email into your phone number. You would be amazed if you remember all of you who listened last Friday, and I specifically stated about 1,000 times, please follow directions, your prize in the subject line, and then within the email, your name, your shipping address, your phone number, and your email. And I stressed that about 1,000 times. I said it after every caller. You'd be amazed at still how many people didn't put phone number or their email. So please, 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 I'll stress it again. Maybe it's our public schools that are creating this issue. So egg basket in the subject line, and the name, shipping address, phone number, and your email, all in the email itself. And I'll get that over to Heather at Ware Manufacturing. So very, very, very cool. Congratulations on your win and for being caller number 7. All righty, so that's going to wrap up another show, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We thank you very much for joining us today. We hope you can tune in tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget, I know you're as excited as I am, for the month of October, just a few days away, we are going to have not one, but two chicken coop contests. We've got a great coop from Derek and Tracy over at mypetchicken.com, and we have a great coop from snaplockchickencoops.com. We're going to have two different contests. One, of course, I've already said, is going to be a password collection for poultry protection contest. We will announce the password daily on the radio show. If there's a missed radio show, not to worry, because we'll also post the daily password on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Okay, and then the other one, we haven't figured out exactly what it's going to be yet, but we'll have two chicken coop contests, giving away two. It'll start October 1st, and how cool, we'll be giving away the coop on Halloween the 31st to two lucky winners and fans. Gotta love it. All righty, folks, so thank you very much for listening. We hope to see you here tomorrow right here at Blog Talk Radio for another great episode of Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We want to thank Arlena for coming on. You all love her show. The awesome, upbeat, and educational about year-round gardening. And we thank her daughter, Ashley, for coming on and telling us all about her wonderful CSA farm. So thank you very much, guests, today. And we'll see you tomorrow right here on Blog Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
Bye.